Hello, I'm Lucy Cunningham Schultz, and welcome to the special edition of Kids Radio. As many of our listeners know, John Avery Whittaker, or Whit as he is better known, has recently returned to Odyssey from an extensive archaeological mission trip to the Middle East. Life since his return has been a rather busy readjustment, filled with decisions, renewed relationships, and the quest for normality. We decided to follow Mr. Whittaker for a day, just to give our listeners a chance to see him make those decisions, renew those relationships, and quest for that normality. Stay with us. We'll join Mr. Whittaker at the start of his day, right after this. Thank you for joining us. John Avery Whittaker, a man loved throughout Odyssey for his honesty, wisdom, integrity, and ice cream sundaes. How does he spend his days now that he's back from the Middle East? That's what we at Kids Radio wanted to know. Glenn Adams joined Whit for breakfast at one of his favorite diners. One of Mr. Whittaker's favorite diners, I mean, not Glenn's.
Thanks, Lucy. I'm here at Hal's Diner, a typical greasy spoon in...
Hey, watch what you say about the restaurant, kid.
A 4-star, highly rated dining establishment where Hal Schneider, the owner, gave me his kind permission to record John Avery Whittaker eating his breakfast. There's Mr. Whittaker now. Good morning, Mr. Whittaker.
Hi, Glenn. Is that you back there, Lucy?
Hi, Mr. Whittaker.
Well, what's with the microphone?
Kids Radio is doing a feature about a day in your life. Remember?
Oh.
Lucy asked you if we could.
Well, yes, but I didn't know it was today. I'm not sure this is the best...
Oh, don't worry, Mr. Whittaker. Our plan is to be invisible to you. I'll be like a fly on the wall. You won't even know I'm here.
Huh.
Good grief! What are you eating?
What, this? Well, this is my breakfast.
Eggs, toast with butter, coffee. Do you have any idea what eating bacon can do to your body? Does the term trichinosis mean anything to you?
Watch it.
I had a second cousin named Christine who ate some raw...
Glenn, do you have a question, or are you just supposed to record me eating?
Oh, yeah. Well, apart from the grease and fat-saturated breakfast...
Hey, I told you, kid.
That's no doubt deliciously filled with vitamins and other things that are good for you. Why do you come here to Hal's Diner first thing in the morning?
Well, I don't come every morning, but 2 or 3 times a week. I like to eat my breakfast away from home.
Jason isn't a good cook?
He's a fine cook, but I just like the change of scenery from my home. And there's something about sitting here by the window with the sounds and smells of a busy diner behind me I just enjoy.
It smells all right. Do you think we can get secondary smoke inhalation in a place like this? My Uncle Bill used to work in a...
Glenn.
So, do you come here to eat breakfast amidst the hubbub of humanity and... What? I see you have a book in front of you.
That's my Bible.
What an interesting contrast. Your Bible in a place like this. Kind of like that Norman Rockwell painting with the mother and the kids praying in the truck stop with big burly men all around them. Do people stare at you because you're reading your Bible in here?
No.
Then religious freedom is alive and well here at Hal's Diner. Back to you, Lucy.
Lynn, you're not doing a report about religious freedom in diners. You're supposed to talk to Mr. Whittaker about him. Ask him what he's reading in his Bible or about his trip to the Middle East.
Yeah, good idea. We're back, Mr. Whittaker.
Oh, did we go somewhere?
You're reading your Bible here in Hal's Diner. What are you reading?
Oh, well, let's see. Today I'm in John chapter 9.
That's great.
Yeah, it's where Jesus heals the blind man with spit and clay.
Spit and clay? Probably looked a lot like that man's oatmeal.
Thanks a lot, kid.
Does this chapter in John have special meaning to you?
It does now.
Check, please.
You know, I was in Israel for a while, and I went to the site where they think this miracle actually took place. I was so deeply moved.
Did you get to ride a camel?
What?
I always thought that riding camels would be pretty cool. Did you get to ride one?
A couple of times, I guess.
Did you run into any, you know, terrorists?
I don't think camels join terrorist groups.
What about those great-looking hats? You know the ones you wrap around your head? Did you get any of those?
I think we're getting off the subject, Glenn.
Wits end. Quiet now, but in no time at all, it'll be bustling with the activity of children and adults from all over Odyssey, engaging in any one of the many activities Wit has set up for them.
Good morning, Connie.
Good morning, Whit.
Hi, Eugene.
Greetings, Mr. Whittaker.
Why are you standing there like that?
Well, we promised Lucy we wouldn't do anything unless you said so.
You can do whatever you normally do.
Oh, thanks. I need to set up the table.
And I need to contact one of our food suppliers about a mistaken delivery of ice cream cones. This requires diplomatic skill and a shrewd business sense.
Oh, fine. Why do you have to make what you do sound more important than what I do?
It hadn't occurred to me that deft negotiating with a food distributor is more important than just setting up tables.
See? You did it again.
Oh, did I? It was unintentional, I assure you. I would be the first to acknowledge that Wits End would be less than what it is if we don't have the tables set up properly.
You're not just saying that, are you?
Oh, not at all. Forgive me if I offended you.
Well, okay.
Nicely handled, both of you.
Have you noticed any differences since you came back? With the people, I mean.
Oh, yes, yes, definitely.
Like how?
Well, Eugene's Christianity has changed him. He's far more sensitive to other people than he used to be, and to spiritual things, of course.
How about Connie?
Well, she's growing up. I see a deep maturity in her, even though she's as outspoken and impulsive as ever. I'm really impressed with both of them.
Well, sometimes Eugene doesn't realize how he makes people feel. But I think he's gotten a lot better about it. At least he stops to apologize now. He used to always justify his position. You know, have to get in the last word. Now, well, he's changed.
Old habits die hard, to borrow an obscure proverb. I believe I instinctively try to position my own activities as somehow being more important than what others do. No doubt a subtle reaction to some deep-seated personal insecurities, which I hope to work through by the grace of God.
Connie said you used to always have to have the last word.
Oh, did she? Well, I'm not really certain that's true. The last word, huh? Well, not always.
Okay, thanks.
I might only ever have the last word because there's nothing more for anyone else to say afterwards.
I understand.
Having made the definitive statement, you see.
I get it.
The last word. Intriguing.
One thing that makes Mr. Whitaker so popular is his easy accessibility to the kids who come to Wits End, and his wise advice. Glenn met up on the street with one young man with a problem.
That's right, Lucy. I've been standing out here in front of Wits End hoping to meet someone who was seeking out Mr. Whitaker's advice. Sam Johnson, can you tell us a little bit about your problem?
Problem?
Yes, you said you needed to talk to Mr. Whitaker.
It's no big deal, really. I just need to talk to him. That's all.
You need his advice?
Yeah, kinda.
Give us a hint.
I'm not sure I should.
Come on. Problems with parents? Your sister? Dietary questions? Bedwetting?
No, it's nothing like that. It's just that I found this wallet in the field behind Wits End. See?
Whoa, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, but there's no identification. So I want to get it to Mr. Whitaker before someone finds out I have all this money and, you know, tries to take it from me.
You call that a problem? That's no problem. Boy, I thought it was going to be something juicy. You found a wallet. Thanks, Sam. Big scoop.
I'm sorry.
Hi, guys. What can I do for you?
I need to talk...
He needs to talk to Mr. Whitaker because he found a wallet out back.
Thanks, Glenn.
Oh, well, Witt's upstairs with Eugene working on the imagination station. I can put the wallet in our lost and found.
Actually...
It has a lot of money in it.
Really? Okay, I'll page Witt.
No, really, you don't have
to... Go ahead and page him, Connie. We need some life in this documentary.
Okay, sure. Whit, can you come down for a minute? Sam needs to talk to you.
I'll be right there, Connie.
Okie dokie. 10-4, and over and out. Wow, I wonder who the wallet belongs to.
It doesn't have any ID in it. I checked.
Good morning, everybody. Or is it good afternoon? Ooh, I'd better check with Greenwich.
Good afternoon, Harlow.
Detective Doyle, if you please. I'm on a case, Connie. Jumpin' jelly beans! Look at the cash in that wallet! Boy, your parents give you an awfully big allowance.
It's not mine.
Not yours, eh? Then what are you doing with it?
I found it behind Wits End.
Ah, so you say. But have you got any witnesses?
Well, no.
Then how can you be sure you found it?
Look, before this gets confusing, as usual...
Confusing? Who's confused? I'm not confused. Are you confused? Oh, a reporter. You guys work fast. I'm prepared to make a statement.
A statement? I don't think we're ready for a statement, Mr. Doyle.
Sure you are. A little red light's on, isn't it?
What's going on here?
Just the man we're looking for.
Oh, you were? Why?
Well, Well, I've forgotten now. I'm working on so many cases, they're hard to keep track of.
Sam just found a wallet out back.
I didn't just find it.
Oh, well, anyway...
Wait just a cotton-picking minute. When did you find this wallet?
earlier this morning.
And you're just now reporting it? Sounds suspicious to me, particularly since you still don't have witnesses to establish that you found it in the first place. I think a full interrogation is in order here.
Okay, I confess. I found the wallet this morning, but was tempted to keep the money so I could buy a new bowling ball with it, all right? Are you satisfied? I feel bad about it. And that's why I wanted to talk to Mr. Whittaker.
Wait just a minute. You can't blurt out a confession before I get my interrogation lamp set up.
Oh, Harlow, I'll handle this, all right?
Good idea. You keep him occupied while I find a plug.
That's all right, Sam.
It was bugging me all morning. I was on my way home after I went to Roar Boy's sports shop and saw that they had a new bowling ball I'd been wanting. But I couldn't afford it. Then I found the wallet with all that money. And I meant to bring it right to you, but there was so much money. And
you were tempted to use some of the money to buy the bowling ball.
Yeah.
But you didn't.
No, sir.
Sam, you know that being tempted to do something wrong is no sin, as long as you don't follow the temptation. You did the right thing, even if it took you longer than usual to do it.
But I still feel bad.
I forgot to bring an extension cord. Will you bring the suspect over to this table here, please?
Sam, let's go up to my office where we can talk in private.
Okay. Wait, let me get my stuff.
I said in private, Glenn. Come on, Sam.
Thanks, Mr. Whittaker.
Hold on! Where are they going? What about my interrogation?
I think it'll have to wait, Detective Doyle.
That's Harlow, Connie. I'm off the case. Oh, well, maybe I'll have an ice cream soda while I've got some time off. Ooh, jumping jugular veins.
What's wrong?
I can't find my wallet.
What's your formula for giving advice, Mr. Whittaker?
Formula? Well, there's no formula. I just try to make it as easy as possible for kids to come to me, and then I try to help them if I can.
Well, how do you help them?
Well, first I want to hear them out, what they're thinking and feeling about the problem. Then I try to ask the kinds of questions that'll guide them to the right answer. Sometimes we'll look at parallel situations in the Bible or relevant verses. And if I have to, I'll just spell out what I think the right answer is, and just hope that the kids will take it to heart.
I see. Well, let's go for a specific example. The situation with Sam is a good one. You went up to your office with him
and... I won't betray confidences, Glenn.
Okay. Well, then let me give you a situation I just made up. I'm a kid who just found a wallet with a lot of money in it.
Glenn?
Well, I called the police and told them not to come for the wallet. Now, Harlow, you're sure it's yours?
Absolutely. I'd recognize that Made in Taiwan label anywhere. And if you check carefully inside, I believe you'll find my membership card to the Speedy Alka-Seltzer fan club with a life-size photo of the actor who plays him on the back.
Yep, it's right here. But your name isn't on it. Why don't you have any ID in your wallet?
What are you, nuts? I'm a private investigator. Strict secrecy is an imperative, unquote. If I kept identification in my wallet, why then...
You'd lose it and no one would know who it belonged to.
Precisely. You know, you might be cut out for this kind of work, Connie.
Yeah. Now, if you two will excuse me, I have to get these bananas sliced for the afternoon rush.
Detective Doyle!
Press! Glad you're back.
I never left.
Then thanks for staying.
Why were you carrying so much money in your wallet? There must be at least $200 or $300 in there.
A good question. A very good question indeed. Why was I carrying so much money? Jumping jury riggers. It's another mystery!
Ouch! Ow! I cut my finger!
You did?
It's a bad one. Ouch!
Hey, you're bleeding.
No kidding.
Step aside, young man. I know first aid.
You do?
Yes. Dial 911.
It's not that bad.
But it looks pretty bad.
Bleeding like a stuck pig is one way to put it. Not that I usually work cases involving stuck pigs, or any other farm animals for that matter.
Maybe I better ask Whit to come back down.
We're here at one of the several Odyssey emergency care centers, where the paperwork has been processed, permission has been granted, and Connie Kendall is about to get stitches put into her finger. How do you feel, Connie?
A little squeamish. I haven't had stitches in a long time.
Glenn, maybe you should wait outside.
But Connie doesn't mind me being here, do you, Connie? I mean, this is a major exclusive for Kids Radio.
Yeah, I guess it's okay.
Thanks. Tell us about the procedure, Dr. Huntman.
Well, it's pretty straightforward. We make sure the wound is clean, apply a local anesthetic, and then carefully put the sutures in.
Will she be scarred for life?
Not that anyone would notice. Are you ready, Connie?
Yeah, sure. Sorry I'm so nervous.
All right, just come on over here.
Of course. Connie's nervousness is not a surprise. Statistics have shown that when it comes to wounds, blood, and cool stuff like that, girls tend to be more squeamish than boys.
Well, I'd sure like to see those statistics, Glenn.
It's a well-known fact. Like last week when I showed Laura Harvey, my next-door neighbor, my worm collection, she freaked. I mean, she really freaked.
Let's put those sutures in now.
She didn't know how to...
Yeah, here we go.
Do you have to use such a long needle?
Well, this isn't a long needle.
But you're gonna put that in her finger?
It's the only way I know how to do it.
Glenn, are you all right?
Yeah, I'm...
Glenn!
Nurse, smelling salts.
Connie, why don't you demonstrate for our audience how you cut your finger? Now, kids, don't try this at home. Sharp instruments like scissors and knives should only ever be used when your parents or an adult is supervising.
Okay, well, I was standing here at the counter slicing some bananas for ice cream sundaes, you know, stuff like that. Anyway, I was slicing them like this. Well, actually not exactly like this, because I didn't have a big bandage on my finger at the time. Well, okay, so I was slicing kind of like this, when suddenly Harlow Doyle shouted. Well, it surprised me, and I looked up like this, and I brought the blade down like this.
Connie, I came to express my...
Ouch!
Condolences about the unfortunate mishap.
What happened again?
Gross, Connie.
Ooh, perhaps you should stop playing with knives.
Oh, how embarrassing.
We're back at Wits End as the day draws to a close. I didn't go with Whit and Connie back to the emergency care center because I can't stand the sight of blood. Glenn couldn't go because his Aunt Sylvia is visiting from Cleveland and he had to go home for dinner. I'm here at a relatively quiet Wits End with Eugene Meltzner.
This may well be my favorite time of day, Lucy. I suppose you could call it the proverbial calm after the storm. Most of the children have gone home. It's a good time to reflect on the events of the day, to meditate, and perhaps draw lessons from them.
What kinds of lessons have you learned from today?
Ah, yes, I was afraid you'd ask me that. Well, I believe that from Sam's experience, we learned that honesty is far superior to dishonesty. And, to be tempted is not a sin, though yielding to temptation is. And always be careful when using sharp objects. Have you learned anything from today?
I learned never to do a documentary like this again.
Oh.
Now, Connie, I'm serious.
Whit, I just cut my fingers, that's
well,
all.
I know, and I think you should go home.
You think the two bandages look silly, don't you? Is that it?
No, not at all. But there's no point in you being here. Eugene and I can handle everything. It's the end of the day anyway. Now go home.
Well, you insist.
I insist.
Wait just a minute. Nobody leave the premises. Nobody move.
What now, Harlow?
We haven't solved the case of the humongous amount of money found in my wallet, which has been complicated by a peculiar and inexplicable plot turn.
Oh, I'm afraid to ask. What kind of plot turn?
My discovery that my office has been burgled.
Incredible.
Your office?
That's right. When I returned to my office to look for clues related to the massive sums of money in my wallet, I found that my Get Smart lunchbox was stolen.
That's all?
That's all? Do you have any idea what that lunchbox is worth?
I meant...
Why, just this morning, I had it appraised at the TV Sitcom Collector Society meeting at the Odyssey Hotel. They gave me $300 for it.
$300?
That's right, in cash. So don't turn your nose down at my lunchbox, young lady. Is that all she says?
Harlow, how much money was in your wallet?
$300 exactly.
Mr. Doyle, this may be a wild stab in the dark, but is it possible that the large amount of money in your wallet is actually the payment you received in exchange for your lunchbox at the TV Sitcom Society Collectors meeting at the Odyssey Hotel?
Jumping jars of marmalade!
I'm going home now. He makes my fingers hurt.
Mr. Whitaker, thank you for letting this be a part of your day.
Well, I can't believe you recorded anything worth airing, but you're welcome.
As you close up your shop after yet another event-filled day, what goes through your mind? Especially now, after having been away so long.
Well, I thank God that I'm here, that he allows me to share in the lives of the families who come to visit, that I have friends who add so much to my life, and for another day of living in his grace, and to go home looking forward to tomorrow.
What do you think tomorrow will be like?
Oh, I suppose it'll be another typical day in Odyssey.
What do you mean by typical day?
Anything can happen. That's what I like about this place.
With that appropriate closing comment from John Avery Whittaker, I'm Lucy Cunningham Schultz for this special edition of Kids Radio.
Thanks, Kids Radio. And I have to say that I agree with Whit. I'm thankful for all the friends and adventures we have in Odyssey. And I'm thankful for you, our listeners, for being our friends and supporting us like you do. Whether you join us once a week or every day, on radio or on a player at home, the gang here in Odyssey thanks God that you let us be a part of your family like you do. So we echo what the Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians. We have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. That's what Adventures in Odyssey is all about. Adventures in Odyssey is a presentation of Focus on the Family. It's a Wrap was written by Paul McCusker and directed by Phil Lawler. Our production engineer was Todd Bastide. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us again next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.